Dr. Fouquet is a lawyer and partner in the law firm Kubier & Fouquet. She is working in Brussels in a German-based lawyer and consultant, and specialized on the German and the European and international law, and consulting on European community affairs in the fields on competition, energy, transport, financing of international projects, environment and social affairs, industrial conversion in Eastern Europe, and also advising and preparing proposals of clients in the sector in these sectors. Maybe it's interesting that she has been formal complaint to the European Commission concerning the EPR nuclear reactor in Finland. Mm-hmm. So that's very briefly an introduction. Please, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to be here, and I'm always glad to be in Copenhagen. My speech today in the morning is a bit of a challenge because it's maybe very legal, but I try to make it not so legal. The Euratom Treaty and the new constitution would be my subject. And to start with an introduction and to put maybe the setting, the Euratom Treaty, in my view and in many other views, carries the stigma of an undemocratic, outdated alien in the world of a liberalized energy market. The treaty hinders the development of an open, sustainable energy market in Europe. The organization of nuclear power of member states based on the Euratom Treaty and own national legislation leads to a behavior of closed shop policy with disturbing consequences, in my view, for our democratic societies in Europe. The discussion around the drafting of a constitution in Europe had elements and initiatives for a complete overhaul of the Euratom Treaty in the beginning. But it was, from the majority of interests, mostly tried to be used to revitalize the nuclear interest in Europe. We do not have a new constitution yet. 2 years ago, during the procedure, parties involved, as I said, wished to integrate in one way or the other the Euratom Treaty into the draft constitution. Neither the presidium of the convention to the treaty, nor the secretariat, nor the majority of the European Commission were really willing or agreed on the necessity to abolish or at least reform the Euratom Treaty. They have simply sought to preserve and re-justify it, following contents of Maastricht, Amsterdam and Nice treaties. The official philosophy, if one can find such, is only to increase clarity through a new unified structure, integrating or harmonizing it in one way or other, and in that respect also to harmonize the Euratom Treaty with the General Treaties articles. According to the draft EU Constitution, Euratom now is supposed to remain a standalone treaty with own legal personality. A so-called sunset clause approach of those who wanted to get rid of it did not succeed yet. But at least the attempt to merge Euratom with the Constitution was also defeated. So currently we can say it's a standalone treaty. It would be a standalone treaty if the Constitution comes along, and it's better so, in my view. Now we have the time that we could analyze the risks and costs of a phasing out under different alternatives, be it via an anonymous procedure within the intergovernmental conference rules, or be it by an approach that those member states will leave the treaty in accordance with relevant international rules. And I come back to that. As I said, and I may shorten that a little bit, even in the past when we had changes via, for example, the Amsterdam Treaty, the basic of the Euratom, who had some changes in its articles as well, remained stable and unchanged. That is, I think, important to know. And also the basic distinctions between legal personalities of the different communities is still valid. Because, as I said, we have up to now not one single European community. I come to the point where I think Europe lost at the latest at that point lost clarity in the energy policy, and that is with Directive 96/92 of the Parliament and the Council of 19th December 1996 concerning common rules for the internal market in electricity. Europe created, after long years of discussion and persuasion, the opening towards a single market in energy. No energy source has been legally exempted from the application of this directive. The directive did not create a separate market for nuclear power. But the nuclear sector, in my view, used Euratom and specific national legislation to maintain and create a market in a market and to deeply disturb the new internal market of energy by a dramatic concentration process of market power and oligopolistic structures, especially coming from France, Germany, and in Central Europe, with consequences to energy security and independence in whole Europe. The undemocratic mold in which nuclear energy policy is embedded in Europe leads to a situation where opening and clarity and level playing field are not applied to the necessary democratic and economic extent. You all know the main examples, which we all discussed and we will discuss today. I think the basic are the non-integration of co-decision and control right by the European Parliament in all basic questions related to Euratom, especially nuclear research structure and budgeting. The management of lavish reserve funds for future dismantling of nuclear power stations in the hand of nuclear power operating utilities. The generous cap, to make it very short, of responsibility in case of nuclear accidents. The European Parliament and also the European Commission underlined, for example, the importance for the functioning of the internal energy market often, and that there is appropriate legislation, for example, requiring the establishment of funds for decommissioning and waste management to ensure availability of those funds in due time and to ensure that the funds are not used for, I would say, improper activities in that sense. But the majority of the European Council in this respect seems to be a little bit hard-hearing. In my view, Euratom Treaty from 1958 is a problematic dinosaur, and because it has a clear priority in favor of just one power industry in Europe. I will quote, because very often the treaty is not so much known in its content. The treaty starts in a way recognizing that nuclear energy represents an essential resource for development and invigoration of industry and will permit the advancement of the cause of peace, convinced that only a joint effort undertaken without delay can offer the prospect of achievements commensurate with the creative capacity of their countries. The parties of the treaty were almost 50 years ago convinced and resolved that the development of a powerful nuclear industry which will provide extensive energy resources will lead to the modernization of technical processes and contribute through its many other applications to prosperities of their people. This should not be belittled. At that time, many people of an elder generation who may sit here were convinced at that time. So let's give it credit for that. The main task of Euratom Community is laid down in Article 1, and that is to contribute to the raising of standard of living in the member states and to the development of relations with other countries by creation conditions necessary for the speedy establishment and growth of nuclear industries. Since then, a lot has happened in the world of energy and competition in an ever-enlarging Europe, which makes this treaty an anachronism and a perverted vehicle for vested interests of a concentrated power in a liberalized market, which is crippled by privileges given to the nuclear industry. I concentrate on the nuclear, I maybe have other industries as well. Apart from this economic tool, given also by Euratom and its, for example, extreme generous funding, the world has faced a multitude of minor and major nuclear incidents, with Chernobyl probably at its most grimly consequence. The dual use of nuclear power for military purposes is a daily threat. Many countries in Europe do not have nuclear power or decided to phase out of the use of nuclear power, replacing this with a new, sustainable, energy-efficient structure based on highly efficient technology without nuclear, and increasingly on a replacement of fossil and nuclear by renewable energies, and encouraging independence of power supply on a local, regional and state level. The German law on the peaceful use of nuclear energy and the protection against the risks of nuclear energy in Germany, in its version from the 22nd of April 2002, prescribes under Article 1 that the new use of nuclear energy for commercial production of electricity has to be ended. This means 45 years after Euratom Euratom came in, a complete change in the energy policy of this, and I would say of many other countries in Europe after Euratom came, who decided to go the same path. Countries such as Denmark do not rely on nuclear energy in their own country's energy source, but are neighbored by many power stations in the Nordic regions of Europe, and I count for Nordic also Northern Germany. All those countries without nuclear energy or which have recognized the anti-competitive and unsustainable structure of Euratom do have an interest to end Euratom, to integrate the necessary safety conditions of the treaty into the general EU treaty, be it a new constitution or just an amendment to the existing EU treaty. In February 2003, a submission by convention members for the constitution was put forward. This called for the abolishment of the special economic zone that Euratom created and to respect the principles of fair competition and creation of level playing field for different energy sources, thereby ceasing to give nuclear energy undue advantages over its rivals. Again, the reasoning for that were electricity market liberalization and the democratic deficit. What I think is still we need a phasing in phasing out, and I do not see it at current, and I hope this conference and the evaluation of governments after this conference may help a little bit to strengthen that path. The only concrete action so far to my knowledge has been the statement of several EU countries such as Austria, Germany, Denmark, asking for an intergovernmental conference of the Euratom member states to start discussion on what to do and how to. The German government, for example, if you go on the webpage of the German government itself, outlines as following, and I quote, "However, the purpose of the Euratom Treaty as adopted against the historical background of the 50s, namely the promotion of nuclear energy in the European Atomic Energy Community, does not automatically oblige member states to promote the use and development of nuclear energy as a commercial energy source within their territories. It is rather for each member state to decide whether and to what extent it wishes to use nuclear energy as the technology advances. The EU Commission has also come to this conclusion," I'm still quoting the Germans, "it is generally thought that it is up to each member state to decide to introduce or maintain nuclear power as an energy source. The German government's policy on the phasing out of nuclear power and the consensus reached with the energy industry in June 2000 are thus not at odds with the Euratom Treaty." I end the quote. This is quite a defensive stance, and not illuminating or taking on promises from 2 years ago where Germany also subscribed to encourage in a phasing out. Some opinion try to suggest that Euratom is as eternal as it is the Bible for Christianity. They base their opinion on Article 208 Euratom, which stipulates as following, "This treaty is concluded for an unlimited period." But that such a conclusion is certainly legal nonsense. A treaty without exit date can, under conditions, always be modified or ended. The Euratom community can, via the organization and management of an intergovernmental conference, for example, try to find an anonymous solution to end the treaty. Realistically, one should do that as a member state, focus on competition danger, but it's a difficult way. But maybe it can be helped if member states act together, those member states who agree that Euratom should go away in a way, they should in parallel opt for a way under the general international treaties law, thus the Vienna Convention on International Treaty and the main principles the Vienna Convention only outlines. Since Euratom, as I said, has no own specific rules, we have to end the treaty phasia under this limit in the context of international law and procedures. There is an anonymous view in legal terms such a treaty can, under specific conditions, be ended or phased out. There is no anonymous view if these conditions are met. I come to the major reasons of international law. The first reason is the nature of the treaty. It is outlined in Article 56 of the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, and I will quote that. Denunciation of or withdrawal from a treaty containing no provision regarding termination, denunciation or withdrawal. A treaty which contains no provision, etc., and which does not provide, is not subject to denunciation unless it is established that the parties intended to admit the possibility of withdrawal, or a right of denunciation or withdrawal may be implied by the nature of the treaty. The Vienna Convention, though, dates from 22nd May 1969 and is younger than the Euratom Treaty. It has not the effect to go before its own appearance, so to say. But we can nevertheless use this good wording of the treaty, because the wording is only repeating a general rule in international law, which has been established long before the Vienna Convention. That's why I still base my paper, my approach on that. So a country such as Germany or Denmark should look at their energy policy in relation to the philosophy and objectives of the Euratom Treaty in the late 50s and can certainly list a table of conditions which would lead to a withdrawal right on the basis of the nature of the treaty. And I have quoted elements of the treaty which make it quite clear in, as time goes by, situation we do have now. I have that in detail, but we can come to that during discussion. The second approach to phase out and to ask for the right to withdrawal, which is a unilateral approach, if you want, you should combine forces with several like-minded nations, but it means you would step out and the torso would remain. This is the fundamental change of circumstances, is the second normally known international term. And it also reflects a long-standing international accepted ground for phasing out of an international commitment. And in the Vienna Convention, that would be Article 62, which outlines the detailed provisions for such fundamental change of circumstances. And if one compares this, indeed, you find a lot of those circumstances that you can say the nuclear power is no longer an indispensable source for the development and encouragement of, for example, the Danish or the German industry and economy. And there are many, many other things you could look, one should look then in order to encourage countries such as Germany, who has a very biased energy policy, I have to say, one should look of the official reasoning, which in Germany has a legal value in itself, to the phase-out modification of the German Atomgesetz, to find enough to go out in a very correct way. And based on this, at least countries should finally make up their homework, should start this reflection, should see what consequences does it have for our economy, because it is also okay, yes, Germany phased out, yes, has done a lot in renewable energies, but yes, is the main driver for a market closure in the general market by oligopolistic tendencies. I only quote the merger of E.ON and Ruhrgas as a catastrophic event for the Ordnungspolitik in Europe and other things where they certainly fall short. But at least the discussion should be opened, and countries such as Denmark and Austria, Ireland, should press, for example, Germany, to come to terms. And if it is apart from what feeling you have towards nuclear, it is not possible, in my view. There is also the obligation of member states to be loyal to the European law, and since the directive came into force for the liberalization of the energy market, That was the point where it should have been started to be phased out. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the legal perspective of the European Treaty and the Constitution.
Questions from the floor?
Yes. Questions, remarks from the floor, and maybe, Dottie, you should stay as long. Yes. Nils. It's yes, Maya, and please shortly say who you are.
I'm Nils Hoge, and I'm from the Law Friends of Yes, Denmark, and we're now taking questions from the floor. Nils Meyer.
My name is Nils Meyer. I'm from the Technical University of Denmark. I have a very short formal question. Is it enough that a simple majority in the Council of Ministers to end the Euratom Treaty, or
no.
What is formally required?
You mean you need anonymity? You need all. You need a decision by all members to the Euratom Treaty to end the treaty.
Consensus?
Yes.
Okay. Are there other questions?
Are there questions? I think the legal perspective is quite clear, isn't it?
Sorry.
Oh, please.
My name is Rune Lund. I'm a member of the Danish Parliament for Enhedslisten, the Red Green Alliance, spokesman on European affairs.
Mm-hmm.
You have given us your opinion about the Euratom Treaty, and I agree very much. But if we don't get this provision of the treaty, why don't we just leave the treaty?
Yeah.
That could be a possibility.
Yes, it would be. As I said, that was. I still think maybe I'm too pragmatic or too. I think since it is a very important, has been an important piece, positive and negatively, of treaty in Europe, we should give those who have signed the treaty the right to find a common way out of it. That's why I would say an intergovernmental conference is for me a logic step. But seeing that you need one voice, that needs a lot of convincing, though I'm not sure you couldn't reach it if you really concentrate on the questions, do we have a market here or don't? And shouldn't we, even a conservative pro-nuclear, I think, may have the vision to say, or be so clear to say, well, we can live without all that, we can put everything under the normal treaty, etc. So I'm not desperate that it is impossible to find, but the other way is that Denmark could say, under this two, for example Denmark, but I would say make a circle of friends to be not alone in the world, to go out under this international treaty ruling, as I said, that the nature of the treaty is completely different than the reality, and that the circumstances have so dramatically changed in those member states who in the beginning favored it.
Nicholas Fish, I'm a union representative. If I'm not wrongly informed, the Euratom gets a budget from the government. Wouldn't that be one of the ways of forcing Euratom to do something if the government would decide to half the budget, 20% of the budget? That's one of the ways economically, if you don't want to get out of a treaty, you can force somebody to do something else. What possibilities are there?
That's the realistic question is that yes, you can force your governments to say no to a further increase of the Euratom budget. But if you see what happened at present, it's far from realistic, unfortunately, because at the moment it just tripled. And yes, sure, I think pressure and lobbying must go on your government, because they have a tendency always to shy behind and blaming the Commission for things which really it's it's in their hands to decide, and that's the same I would say in Euratom. Once there is a budget, the member states even don't have that much to say in that thing. So it's really the question when it's the budget coming up that then you must lobby your governments to say no to any increase. And it has never been very, very successful. In fact, with this ITER now, or ITRE, or how you call it, which is now apparently needing fresh research money, and that's why it's blowing up the budget, even though this research is, I think, more than 60 years old and they never came up with something, but now they do it on a big scale and therefore must burn European taxpayers' money manifoldly.
Peter Brazel, Department of Environment, Heritage and Local Government in Ireland. On the issue of withdrawal, in relation to withdrawal from Euratom, surely a small number of countries withdrawing from Euratom removes any possibility of even shaping Euratom to deal with nuclear safety or other issues. Those countries don't participate in nuclear, so to some extent some people would say, well, you're largely unaffected by it. And I'm just wondering, where do you see the strategic value in withdrawal as opposed to being in the tent and trying to shape the treaty?
I certainly do not agree with your conclusion. I agree that the treaty could stay and you are just out of the club and so maybe out of control. That may be a danger, but in my view there is no consequence to this move. I think if it really would be done by several countries, and hoping there will be one of the bigger ones included, that will shake up a lot. When that countries then combine it with no more money in that pot, which is a problem, because also if you look at the German research industry, so to say, they're profiting like hell from Euratom. So you see there is a conflict, but I think this, if you go open and if you say so, enough is enough, we do not come to a conclusion here. Me, as honest representative of my people, I will say we go out of that. I think if you don't do anything, you change nothing. That's the consequence, I think. And it also, I think the Commission was a very tricky thing, and not obviously Commission, but let's say during the accession negotiations with new member states such as Austria and Sweden, they made a link, they made before a package in the treaties that you can only accede all or none. Even though, so they had to go to the coal and steel treaty, even though that was already going out. That those member states have let themselves into such a game is a big pity. There was pressure to go into that, and it was, I think there was a negotiation mistake being done, because as I said, legally these are separate legal entities, even though they are merged under institutional coordination, they were separate legal entities, and Austria should have said, are you kidding? As they said with the lorries, which could go on not crossing Austria, I mean, on very concrete things, they've done some substantial no, and on this not so unimportant thing, they just let it go. And that may also have to do with research money flowing into some of the countries, even if it is a visa.
I'm getting the unpleasant role to look on the watch and also give the hint that we have a debate, what future for the Euratom Treaty after the coffee break. If we continue to start with this, we will not have any coffee break.
Therefore,
thank you for this clarification of the legal perspectives, and we touched a little already about the conclusions, what's the possibilities, but we will continue today. So thank you very much.